From KQED Public Radio, this is Capitol Notes, our weekly podcast about all things politics and government and fun and dogs and birds and lollipops.
Lollipops?
Yeah, I don't know. Trying to kind of bring in a different audience, although they would be sadly disappointed once they started listening
to
this.
I love lollipops.
I'm John Myers from KQED. The lollipop lover is Anthony York, the editor of Capitol Weekly. And so the legislative session finally ended here in Sacramento.
Is there a sucker transition there?
That's nice. That's really nice.
Actually, it seems kind of mean-spirited, but
yeah, well, you know,
moving on.
Taking candy from kids. Excuse me. So end of session finally happened, although it's really not the end of session. I mean,
no.
They're going to be back for one reason or the other before 2009's over. So
right. And that all the bills that didn't make it out this year are still alive because this is the first year of a two-year session.
They become two-year bills.
Two-year bills. The Capitol parlance.
Right, right. They're held over and we'll do it all again. So we'll try to go through some of what happened. What time did it wrap up? It was something like right before sunrise on Saturday morning.
6 a.m.-ish.
Last Saturday? Yeah.
Yeah, on the 12th.
I wasn't here. You were here for most of it.
Most of it, although by 2 a.m. when it became clear that what was going to happen and what wasn't going to happen, I called it an early night.
Well, it was a combination definitely of familiar race to the finish, end of session kind of shenanigans. Not to say they were the same as every year's, but we see a lot of that stuff, the old mushroom bills, whatever you would have, things that grow in the dark that you don't see until the end.
Yes.
But we also had that the clash of that and these really big policy battles that had been going on all year before 2009 even, and that apparently still are going to keep going. Because I don't think if you look at any of the three, and we'll get into details in a second, we haven't gotten resolution on any of the three.
You know,
we theoretically have resolution on one, the prisons issue, but as we're going to find out,
the federal government doesn't think so.
That's not necessarily a done deal, probably either. But let's talk about what you watched through the end there. You were watching a couple of these kind of mushroom-esque bills. I mean, they've been talked. The policy issue has been talked about before, but the bills, what, just kind of miraculously popped up different versions of them there at the end.
They did. The things I wrote about this week and I was sort of watching out for were. You know, a lot of people were. I think we're going to talk about prisons and renewable energy and water and what did and did not happen in those areas.
Three.
We were looking at a couple of different things. Number one was this proposal for a new football stadium in Los Angeles and a bill that would waive provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA, in order to streamline and fast track and otherwise expedite an NFL stadium in the beautiful city of Industry, which is on the eastern edge of LA County, borders Riverside. And this is a proposal that has been talked about for a long time. There's ongoing lawsuits about it. There have been environmental impact reports done and environmental studies done, and it's been caught up in litigation. The bill itself just materialized about a week or two ago. And was pushed forward by a group, including the developer of the project, Majestic Realty,
They had tried to get this as part of the budget deal, too,
right,
in the fashioning of redevelopment agency funds, and that you would get to use some of that money in exchange
right.
for, hey, shocker, a stadium project in City of Industry. So
right, didn't happen.
Yeah, we've seen multiple versions, and this one didn't happen either.
No, although it passed out of the Assembly. With 54 votes. It was a very strange alliance because you saw Republicans and Democrats from San Diego vote against the proposal because they're worried that the Chargers are going to be drawn into this deal. They don't want to lose the Chargers. And then you had a lot of pro-labor Democrats and pro-business Republicans from other parts of the state voting for it. It was a very odd coalition. On the no side, you had the folks from San Diego and a lot of coastal environmentalists who didn't want to set the precedent here, or another precedent, of suspending environmental laws in order to fast-track construction projects.
And so as a result, the Senate has
held it, but I think that was the plan all along. I mean, one of the things that's going on with this proposal is that the city of Walnut has sued the developer, Majestic Realty, over,
like
over this
plan.
It is, only worse. It involves the city of Walnut. I guess it that could be like soap opera-esque. Yeah. Today in Walnut. Anyway, I digress.
Please.
And so there's some thought that part of the reason for moving this bill and then parking it in the Senate was to sort of force the city of Walnut back to the negotiating table with the developer over this litigation. And that, you know, I think the legislature would be all too happy to have the city of Walnut and Majestic Realty work out a deal without a final bill.
And that was the message from the pro tem, Daryl Steinberg. Yeah. I mean, that was the message that, you know, I'm committed to negotiating this. You know, before we move the legislation, let's try to negotiate. And then if we can't get anywhere, we'll put the bill up.
And there's talk about it coming back in perhaps one of the special sessions because it is an extraordinary session bill, 81-3X by Assemblyman Isidore Hall from Compton. And it would be eligible to come up if and when the legislature comes back sometime this fall.
So that was one that of was those last-minute bills that you were watching. And then you wrote about This is the You Show about last-minute here. And then there was the air quality. The air quality issues, emissions credits.
Emissions credits for the South Coast Air Quality Management District. A lot of egos. But basically, again, you saw a very similar alliance where you had pro-environmental coastal Democrats who happen to be from wealthier districts and tend to be whiter districts ethnically, pitted against these inland, more urban districts that have higher unemployment rates and have higher higher populations of African Americans and Latinos. And you saw all of the Black caucus and a majority of the Latino caucus voting for both of these proposals. And then a lot of coastal liberal environmentalists voting against them. And, you know, the floor debate got really heated. It took place at 2 in the morning. But
well, talk about how this one ended up, though. I mean, result of this one was?
It ended up passing.
There you go.
And through some last-minute amendments and a midnight hearing of the Utilities and Commerce Committee, which I was privileged enough to attend.
I was going to say, you were probably the only person in the audience.
No,
the lobbyists
every single
were there.
Lobbyist.
Sorry, every lobbyist was there.
Every lobbyist of the humankind.
Let me push back from that. How many people outside of lobbyists and you were there?
Well, let's put it this
representing
way.
The public of the state of California.
Let's put it this way. I was the poorestly compensated. Is that
you
proper?
Were the I was worst dressed in the room.
I was the worst dressed and lowest paid. So, you know, there you go. But the bill did pass, and much to the consternation of Senator Alan Lowenthal, a Democrat from Long Beach, and a number of other environmentalists, including Jared Huffman, a Democrat from San Rafael, and a former NRDC attorney.
Well, and all these discussions of, like, you know, was it, you know, were there promises that it wasn't going to be amended, and then
right.
It was amended.
Who was lied to, and whether this circumvents a
talk about
lawsuit.
A soap opera.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all there in Capital Weekly, capitalweekly.net, capital with an O. it's all there. It's all there. Well, most of it's there. And if you have questions about other things that are not in the story, hey, give me a call. I'll answer.
Well, you're going to stop it there. Well, but I guess what I was going to say.
A couple lines open.
But a couple of, exactly. Let's take a caller from Turlock. We're in a studio with buttons, and so Anthony's always feeling the need to, like, thinks he can pull a caller up like a talk show.
I'm a button pusher. What can I say?
Okay, but the big picture, you know, the big issue here is, I mean, what I think you saw, it sounds like to me, is, I mean, you know, not everybody's in lockstep, even if they're on the same, if they have the same letter after their name.
Right.
They're not, all Dems aren't alike. More Republicans are alike than not, but the Democratic caucus can be very varied on some of these issues, especially when you get into these really local issues and these issues, I think, which you know, you were at least exploring here about, you know, socioeconomic status of districts.
Absolutely. And I think now, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes you close your eyes during some of these debates and listen to the Democrats who are advocating for these proposals about how, you know, there are all these barriers to new construction and the need for jobs in these districts. It sounds like the case the Republicans have been making for years. Mm-hmm. And it does beg the question, I think, you know, with near record high unemployment and an economy that's still struggling, at what point do we start peeling back environmental regulations like CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act? And I think that this is going to be a central tension, not just among Democrats, but I think a lot of Republicans are going to enter this debate. And, you know, there was a moment in the floor debate over the air credits proposal, and Manuel Perez, a Democrat from the Palm Desert area, got up and started railing against eco-elitism, you know, talking to his Democratic colleagues. And I think that there are some real tensions there between environmental protections and job creation that, you know, are really central, honest-to-God, philosophical differences among members, not just of between the parties, but within the Democratic Party as well.
Well, and we could bore people to tears for a while with some of the policy intricacies here. But
they have time to listen, though. They're all unemployed, so it's okay.
But you do raise an interesting point, at least about CEQA, which is the state's landmark environmental protection law, which, you know, mandates a number of things that have to happen before any of these kind of projects move forward.
Right.
And there has been a long discussion about exemptions from CEQA and whether they can be seen as a one-time thing or whether, as in some environmentalists believe, they do start to establish a precedent for going around CEQA.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you continue what you've seen, obviously, is the latest chapters of that. So,
and you had Republicans, I believe Joel Anderson, a Republican from, help me, somewhere out there, down there.
I want to say Antelope Valley.
Down there,
right?
Down and over,
okay,
you know, from here.
Down and over
as
from
the
Sacramento.
Crow flies. It's
drive
down
south,
and over.
Go over.
Go over there. Okay. But Assemblyman Anderson voted against the, I believe it was the stadium proposal, saying, hey, why are we only providing a CEQA exemption for this particular project that happens to have the backing of—
There goes your precedent issue.
Right. It's like, and so he voted against it, saying, hey, I can't tell you how many developers want to build new housing in my district, but they don't, you know, but they're bogged down in environmental red tape. And so, you know, and I think that a lot of Democrats are going to have to answer that question the next time Republicans come back with plans to suspend CEQA.
So let's talk about the big three. Policy issues that and what happened at the end of session with those, that would be water, renewable energy, and prisons. Of the three, water went absolutely nowhere. And an asterisk by that. It doesn't mean that they haven't made progress or that they couldn't strike a deal at some point in time.
Right.
But technically, when session ended, there was no vote, final vote,
out
of both houses, nothing sent to the governor.
Right.
Of a water proposal, of a comprehensive water proposal, which has been debated and discussed for years and intense negotiations all this year with all the different stakeholders, all the different water agencies and environmentalists and agricultural community and everybody like that. Everybody said they were close, but in reality, and it's not to say this is the only thing that sunk it. No, I'm trying to think of those, trying to avoid the water
drowned
references.
It.
Yeah. But financing was huge.
That's the major issue that
has often been an issue here, which is how to pay for all of this.
And you know, we're talking about roughly a $12 billion price tag. And the main issue is whether to go to the voters and ask them to approve general obligation bonds.
Yeah.
The Republicans were talking about doing one big bond. The Democrats are talking about breaking it up into two $6 billion chunks. Or whether to have—
One next year, like one in 2014. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or whether there should be a fee for anybody who—for various water users in Southern California.
Residential, larger than residential, absolutely. Right.
Right. Or some sort of revenue bonds where you have a dedicated revenue stream and then a local agency can then borrow against that money and— have bonds. And, you know,
and those don't have to be approved by the voters.
And that's the main issue.
That's a key distinction there, because the GO bonds, the general obligation bonds, have to go to the voters. Everything
right.
else could be done in Sacramento.
And I think that's Democrats' main concern, is that, you know, you have a lot of Democrats who come from the Delta area, the San Joaquin, Sacramento River Delta, you know, sort of Alameda County, Contra Costa County, that are against this plan because it's going to... you know, the plan calls for a new conveyance system or peripheral canal, whatever you want to call it, to subvert the Delta and route water to Southern California. And I think you're going to have a lot of opposition from Democrats in the Delta, and then you're going to have a lot of the traditional anti-Republican borrowing opposition. And there's real concern that a water bond would not be approved by voters. And I think part of the calculation by Democrats is they're saying, look, we've got to try to find a way to do this without asking the voters for more. And then also you've got Democratic interest groups, labor unions, and other budget stakeholders who want to avoid a bond because they think that the debt service payments from such a bond would further diminish the general fund.
Well, I was going to say, and that's what I was actually going to point out, because if you look at, if you look at what the public, assuming the public has been paying attention to what's going on up here, which I think they finally do get some sense that we're in the
They all read Capital Weekly. They know.
I know. They all listen to KQED.
That's right.
There you go.
Or, but, or maybe online at KQED.org.
Or the podcast. Right. Okay. On okay. iTunes. But you know, finally, you've got to think the public is getting the message about how bad the state's finances are. And so the message all this time has been, we don't have money. It doesn't take very far to say that the state, if it doesn't have money, doesn't have more money to pay back debt service every year out of the general fund for all of this borrowing. And
right.
yeah, and then True. Becomes and then becomes the question. And actually, if you think about the debt service rates, we've had this discussion for the last year and a half. I know the Ledge Analyst talks about a lot about what our percentage of debt service is. But revenues in the state keep going down. Debt keeps going up. I bet that debt service number is going to be a lot higher out of the general fund when you look at these numbers come
yep.
the fall. So, and that gets to where you're talking about. Everybody else whose programs depend on funding from the general fund is going to start saying, wait a minute, what are we doing obligating more general fund dollars to something else? What about health care? What about other social programs? What about other environmental protection, state parks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
You got to drink. You got to be able to drink, right?
Well, you would think.
And bathe.
And well, some of us.
yeah.
You,
hey.
Me.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so water is stuck there. Let's talk about the other two. Let's talk about renewable energy first, maybe, and then we'll end with the big bad prison discussion. Renewable energy, if one was to believe what happened at the end of session, you go, great, they came to an agreement. Great, they sent the bill to the governor. Except the governor doesn't like the bill.
Apparently not.
And apparently the governor doesn't like the formulation about how much renewable energy can come from out of California.
Right.
How much can energy generators bring into California to count toward the 33% number of electricity generated by renewable means?
And you know, if you take another step back, I love the abstract, ridiculous nature of this debate. I mean, look, we're talking about we already have an existing standard for our utilities, a goal where we have to have 20% of our energy
in 2 years
come from renewable sources by 2010, mm-hmm. right?
Or yeah, 1 year, right? And they're not going to make right. it.
No, they're going to miss it. So what do? They say, I know, let's demand we do more. I mean, it's a delay.
We'll
in
give
some
you more
ways,
time to right? get to the standard,
to a
but we will
level.
Increase the percentage of what you have to do.
Right. So it's a classic, right? Every pretty much everybody who's in the legislature now will be gone by 2020 unless the term limits law is changed. So by moving it to 2020, there's something kind of surreal about this, right? And then there's the discussion over whether or not to use out-of-state power or in-state power. A lot of labor groups wanted to make sure that their guys have the jobs and that to demand that the power come from in-state sources. The governor said, no, that'll lead to gaming of the system if you have a limited supply here. And never mind the fact that a lot of environmentalists, including Senator Dianne Feinstein, have opposed major renewable energy plans in the desert.